The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
What's up, everybody? This is the Ace of Belts, Dave Milliken, WWE Beltmaker. You're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwback Radio Podcast.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
The Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
With your hosts,
the Impact Playa, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and everyone in between, your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back, we be the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the heavyweight primate, the blue-collar scholar, the impact player himself, Mr. Phil Rea, and I am joined always by...
the Black Powers.
What's up, homie?
Chilling
like Bob Dylan because your mom's is illin'.
That too.
Pretty much. We are live, David.
We're live.
That's right, on Rant EM Radio. Rant Entertainment Media is the place, is the hub. As always, part of the Shining Wizards Network. We're on your Roku, your PlayStation, your Xbox, your sister's A-Track. Tune in. All that happy horse shit. Little mashup for you tonight, as requested by the Mega Powers.
Yeah, I actually caught wind of this Herbie Hancock Metallica mashup on my ride home. So I was like, "Shit, we gotta play this."
Yeah, it's a guy by the name It's called Wax Audio.
Yeah,
and they do a bunch of mashups. There's actually a guy in Jersey around your way, I think on the north side. I think his name is DJ, what the hell's his name? Starts with a K. But he does all those mashups too. Clutch, DJ Clutch, that's it. But it's Clutch with a K. He's pretty popular, actually. He's done stuff for Jay-Z, Hot 97 locally here. So
mashups are, a favorite of mine. Actually, Wax Audio has done some great stuff. One of my favorite mashups of all time. Ray Parker Jr. and AC/DC mashup called Thunderbusters.
How about Stain in Black with AC/DC and the Bee Gees? He does that one. He does this one. It's called Careless Rebel. It's with George Michael and Billy Idol.
Wow. Actually, there's a really good Billy Idol, Chris Isaac one. with White Wedding and shit. What's Chris Isaac? Wicked Game.
Oh yeah,
called Wicked Wedding.
I got
that
check.
One is extremely good.
I got to check that out.
The vocals, Billy Idol's vocals and Chris Isaac's like instrumental for Wicked Game, they go hand in hand. It's incredible.
All right, all around Wax Audio is a fine product. Matt E. Legend is in the chat room tonight.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
About fucking time he comes back. This guy making his rounds all over the shows. Finally get to play his soundbite. Anyway. So, Mega Powers, besides working like an animal, what else is going on in the world of Mega Powers?
Working like an animal. That's
pretty
it.
Much it. Yes, Ted.
Actually, what's it? Tomorrow and Sunday, I'm going to be helping out Shining Wizards, Tony's dad, at his flower shop doing some deliveries. So there's going to be some people getting some special deliveries from the Mega Powers.
Oh, boy. Don't do nothing to Chuck's flowers, dude. Don't give anybody.
I don't know. I'm bringing protection, though, just in case.
Don't give anybody special surprises. Oh, man. We want to give a special birthday shout-out to our boy Jocka, Mr. Johnny Mangway, part of Team Pazuzu, Beyond Wrestling, Chikara. Where else has Johnny been lately?
He's been at the Decker Dome.
He's been at the Decker Dome, but he does the other, that Canadian wrestling, too, with Pinky Sanchez in him, right? I forget
what
it's
C1.
C1, yeah, yeah.
It's also Interspecies.
Interspecies, yep. So happy birthday to Jocka, man.
Happy birthday, Jocka, man.
Hope you get plenty of flesh tonight.
Flesh Fridays.
It is Flesh Friday, ironically, and it's his birthday. So happy birthday to the Jocka, man.
How ironic.
Ironic. And it's not even Alanis Morissette. Anyway, all right. So we're going to be moving along. I don't have a lot of news tonight. We got a really kick-ass throwback. I guess sort of a roundtable sort of discussion. We're giving props to a certain group. A very angry group of professional wrestlers.
Militant group
to carry on with our theme for Black History Month. Let me just give everybody a rundown of what's going to be going down. This coming week, I don't know, the Black Achiever Awards are next week, so not this week.
24th, right?
Right. Tomorrow night you have the Wrestling Call-In Show with Mr. William Morgan. Sunday, what are you reading comic book show with Surfer. Thank you very much, by the way, Surfer, for holding it down for me last week. While I was away, and I don't even want to get into my plane ride. I'll tell you when I see it. It's too long of a fucking story. But it was a nightmare. But I want to thank Surfer and Tony C for sitting in with Dave. It was I got the first hour while I was 30,000 feet in the air, so that was pretty cool.
You having a William Shatner Nightmare 20,000 Feet experience?
No. But when you're stuck in an airport for almost 12 hours... And your flight was 8 hours. Yeah, it was not a cool thing. So, I caught they had internet, and I just, thank God, like the first hour of my flight, I caught you guys. So that was fun. So thank you very much to Tony C and the Jackhammer himself, the birthday boy Surfer, who's golden now, by the way.
Yeah.
He's golden. So Surfer, happy birthday, man. And all right, so then Monday, of
Hopefully
course,
he makes it to platinum.
Yeah, God willingly, right? God willingly. And then, of course, Monday starts off your whole new week with Talk Brunch with our boys Rick Dara and McWrestling and the girls. So that's gonna be, and then the rant and Freaks and Effing Geeks and so on and so on. Coverage for Fastlane 46 is this Sunday, next Sunday. I'm sorry, February 21st, 7 p.m. Depends on where I am. I'll probably jump on. I like those pre-shows. They're fun. We get a lot of good feedback on those. We got a night. We get hop in chat rooms too for those things.
You know, some of the best shows are the pre-shows.
Yeah, they are. And we'll be doing a WrestleMania pre-show this year. Mega Powers and myself. So you're getting
the Nipsey WrestleMania, you mean?
Nipsey WrestleMania. Your Skype picture looks like your man Charlie looks like Nipsey Russell in that picture.
Yeah, he looks a bit like Nipsey Russell.
A little bit. Nipsey Russell Mania.
As at the Apollo as well.
It's a fine establishment, by the way.
Yeah.
I just got the Metallica concert at the Apollo. A little oxymoron. They did play the Apollo about 2 years ago. So
wait, who did?
Metallica.
Really?
Yeah, it's a good show if you're into Metallica.
It's a pretty small venue, so I'm surprised that they even played there.
Yeah. Ted Turner's in the data for XM, Sirius XM, too. Ted Turner's in the chat room. Hello, sir. Thank you for joining us. People in the chat room. Chat room's getting a little busy now, finally. Took them, 7 months, but we're good. All right. What else? Do I have anything else? Oh, yes. I am working on doing a black carpet pre-show for the Black Achiever Awards. I'm going to pre-record it.
With the big highlight is being the Martin Luther King in the Ring tournament.
Yes, so hopefully I can get the feed on that, and I'll be talking to some people, some celebrities, maybe some guests. I don't know yet. I'm hoping to do all that prior to hopefully, and I asked the Unsilent Majority to join us, but she declined and said we're a bunch of racists. So she's protesting the Black Achiever
Award. I think she's racist for making that comment.
That's what I said to her. That's exactly my words tonight. I'm like, you are a racist. You're a closet racist. I said, you do realize that this is being endorsed and sponsored by everything that is the African-American community. And she said that we're racist. So Surfer and my wife.
Even Canadian Fried Chicken is sponsoring the event.
The Surfer and my wife will be picketing outside the Black Achiever Awards. So, with that all being said, Mega Powers, let's get into some news that you can use. Do you have anything before I get into my news over here?
Since I've been literally like sitting in my work chair for 3 days out of the week, I was there for 15 hours. Some of the other days were over 10 hours. So needless to say, I've been trapped. I've been locked out from the outside world, so I have no idea what's been going on this week. At all.
Yeah. All right. Ted Turner, Florida. Florida was great. My flight down sucked balls. Okay. It was a very good trip. It's always a good trip when I see family. Let's see. Yeah. So, anyway. All right. So, I want to get into this Titus O'Neil thing. Because
I heard about that.
I started getting into it on social media, and I promised everybody I would talk about it tonight. But some people on the thread started to piss me off, and I said some things, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to refrain and hold off on it till tonight. So we all know Titus O'Neil was suspended up to 90 days, I believe, for, I guess, the night of the Daniel Bryan retirement thing. We'll get to Daniel Bryan, too, in a minute. But apparently, he was suspended for grabbing Vince McMahon playfully, trying to give him a hug on Vince's way out to the back to his gorilla position. However, Vince didn't take too kindly to it and suspended Titus, sending him home the next night when Titus reported to SmackDown and gave him a 90-day suspension. So, of course, well, now it's 60, apparently. Doesn't matter. He got suspended, which was the big thing. And people were speaking out about it. Celebrities. I know Dave Bautista said to him he would quit. He would ask for his release after that. So wrestlers suggested to him on Twitter that they were playing a race card. Titus took the high road and was like, no, I messed up. I'll take my medicine, blah, 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 blah. Now, there's different reports. There's reports saying that Vince had a hard-on for Titus and everybody else at that point and just waiting for somebody to do something stupid for him to be sent home. That was the first thing. What's that?
Well, wait a second. You said Vince had a hard-on for this guy, but he's waiting to send him home?
Well, waiting to send anybody home. Like, apparently the locker room has been acting the fool. Like, there's been shenanigans in the back, and Vince was just waiting for somebody to act out of character, I guess, for Titus, that was out of character of him just to grab Vince randomly like that, right?
Yeah, so basically he wanted to make an example of somebody.
Right, but like, I don't know if that's like, see, I told somebody on Facebook, I'm like, when people do something wrong, you're going to just suspend them without pay, or you're going to do some kind of remediation? Or was this something that Titus O'Neil was doing backstage? maybe, and now he finally did it on air, and he got, you know, whatever. I don't know. I don't know.
You know, it's real. Well, how can I word it? You know, there's you know, speaking from an outsider's point of view, you know, there's guys that they're just, you know, boys will be boys. They're going to be acting up. But, you know, we're also in an age where, you know, people are complaining like, oh, they're going back to the locker room early, playing video games, this and that.
We're not taking calls, guys. Nobody's calling in. The number's not listed. Sorry. I'm sorry, Dave. Carry on.
So, you know, I can imagine, you know, different things are going on. You know, the more things change, the more things stay the same. But I feel with this kind of situation, I don't really sorry for the dead era. What was it? Like he's gone for 90 days?
Now it's 60.
Is that the deal?
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. That's what Matt posted. And it's first they said 90, then he said 60.
Yeah, I think that's and this was on television.
You saw him. It was on national TV. So he grabbed him. And Vince kind of.
How,
like,
did he react after he got grabbed?
He pushed him off and looked back and was angry and walked away. Like, I put it on the page. It's on the page.
Gotcha. I saw the GIF, but I didn't see what happened after the grab.
Well, that's what happened. There was nothing else after the GIF. I mean, Vince just looked in the back, you know, gave him like a nasty look back, and then kept it moving. You know.
Well, you know, first of all, a colored guy shouldn't really be grabbing a white guy like that, especially when he's the boss. In my bell on my end.
I love the fact that you finally have a bell, too. It's pretty hysterical.
I've had a bell.
I know, but you...
I didn't want to upstage your bell, but
you really should be upstaging my bell, but that's okay. I'll let you slide because I like you. But,
you know, I feel with a situation like that, it's just like, you know, just run with it. You know, there's no reason... it's so hard to call because, you know, first of all, you know, everybody knows wrestling is an act at this point. You know, McMahon has been playing the heel for so long, but everybody's out there, you know, celebrating the career of Daniel Bryan. So I feel it's just kind of like, you know, just give him the fucking hug and just move on. You know, I know at the end of the day, it is the boss. And we've had some people, you know, speak up saying, you know, in defense of Vince. And, yeah, I understand how it goes in the you know, business world, but I just kind of feel, you know, just for the sake of television, just for the sake of what's going on, you know, just give the colored guy a hug for God's sake.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, in the chat room, Ted Turner said Lance Storm had a great theory. He said he thinks it's a wellness issue, but with Titus's high profile charity stuff, that WWE is covering it up. Maybe.
What, that there's an issue with Titus O'Neil?
A wellness policy thing? I don't... But why would you suspend him? Like, I mean, is that a cheesy way to suspend somebody for taking a wellness policy thing? I don't understand. And that's the excuse they give him because he's a charitable dude and he has, like, the... He wins all these Dad of the Year awards and he does all these, like, charity things for WWE. Like, I don't know. I don't know if... The E is not... If this was 1995, I would say yeah, but they're global now, man. It's like it's not. I don't think they would use that. I don't think they would cover it up. But it's. I mean, it's a nice theory in hindsight. But I don't know if that's them covering up a wellness policy issue. They're very vocal about the wellness policy stuff that they've been instituting the last couple of years, and they've been sending guys home, and they've sent high profile guys home. You know, ask Randy Orton about that.
Especially with injuries too. So.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I, you know, just speaking from the heart, especially with you know, a company like WWE, it's a dream come true even to even just be involved with that company. So, you know, I just kind of feel with Vince, he should just ran with it, just give the guy a fucking hug. But he is old school, you know. He's survived you know, many generations of professional wrestling. So I know he's got standards. You know, he wants people to live up to a certain expectation of his. And frankly, you know, he's signing the check. So at the same time, you know, they got to act a certain way, even on especially on screen.
Yeah.
So, you know, I understand his reasons. I understand Titus O'Neil's reasons. I'm glad the guy's just, you know, rolling with it, you know, accepting responsibility for it. Because also, you know, there is the fact that, hey, it's, you know, it's Daniel Bryan's night. It's not Titus O'Neil, you know, hogging the spotlight, you know, especially, I don't know if he's aware of where the cameras are for, you know, something like that or what the specific deal is. But, you know, I just kind of feel also with that kind of situation is, you know, just put the focus on Daniel Bryan as well and just do that kind of stuff, you know, behind the scenes.
A good segue about Daniel Bryan announcing his retirement. People thought it was a work, and it wasn't. Apparently, all his holistic doctors and his regular doctors felt he shouldn't wrestle anymore. Got a lot of love from his peers, especially on Twitter. I know Talk Brunch guys are reading some of them, and especially Johnny Gargano, who who said that Daniel Bryan was the reason why he's in wrestling, and he paved the way for the smaller guys. And my first Ring of Honor live event, I've said that many times that Daniel Bryan was the headliner at that point. I was always a Daniel Bryan fan, American Dragon, Bryan Danielson, whatever. I felt when he came to the E, when they finally gave him his push, they threw him with some shit. They threw him with like the Mark Henrys and the Big Shows, and taking nothing away from those guys from what they'd done, their contributions to the E. However,
they've been done with their contributions.
That and the fact that you can't put 400 and 500 pound dudes with guys who are 180 pounds. You know,
you can, but it's a gamble.
Yeah, it's a gamble, and I think the move set. I think he went out of his way to be different. I think he did a lot of things he didn't have to do to entertain. Which, I mean, let's face it, a lot of guys went out of their way. Ex Mick Foley, who's now crippled, you know. Ex the Hardy Boys about that. Ask the Dudleys. Ask Rey Mysterio about that. I think it's it's a nice tribute to him from everybody afterwards. I mean, he got a nice little send off on TV, but then everybody came out of the woodwork, man. Ring of Honor and Japan, everybody showed love for him, and I think that's great. I don't think he's done with wrestling. I don't think he will wrestle anymore. I think he'll be like a trainer. Maybe he'll bring him to NXT. Maybe he'll do some commentary. Maybe he'll go to another promotion like Ring of Honor and do like, you know, maybe some coaching there or something. Or run it. He's going to be involved in wrestling. He's going to start a family, and you know, it's you know, good for him. He's still young enough where he has the rest of his life. You know,
yeah, he's still a young dude. He's got the he's got the rest of his life ahead of him, and you know, this was I don't really watch Total Divas, but I know it was a topic on Total Divas. You know, what is he going to do next? What if wrestling is not a possibility? And you know, for as brief as his career was, you know, the guy made some like major milestones on the independent scene as well as, you know, WWE, you know, stuff that, you know, a lot of guys, you know, frankly, won't live up to, more than likely won't live up to the kind of accomplishments that this man has achieved. So his career wasn't, you know, like, it wasn't all for naught. The guy did more than, you know, most guys could ever, you know, conceive in their minds, so... I feel, you know, his wrestling career, you know, ended on a high note, especially with WrestleMania 30. And, you know, his future right now, you know, he's got a, you know, great future just doing anything he wants. You know, he started the Yes Chant. He, you know, overcame, you know, immense odds. So, you know, the world is his oyster. Hopefully he's not allergic to shellfish.
True. True. Yeah, Eric Lindros did had to retire young from the NHL from concussions. So did Pat LaFontaine. A lot of guys did back in the 90s, Ted. So in the early 2000s, too. But there's more awareness, too, with all the injuries now. Guys are getting hurt more because they're
getting hurt left and right.
Yeah. I mean, I want to try to point the finger on that and, like, say why, but I don't think
it could be a lot of things. You know, it could just be the food that we're eating now. It could be, you know, how these guys are training. It could
regiment,
be, you know,
the
schedule. But it could be the style of wrestling that they're doing. You know, it could be a lot of things.
It's a grueling schedule, Dave. I mean, you're on the road 300 days a year, if that.
And the guys that, you know, wrestle nowadays, they don't wrestle the style that, you know, guys like Ultimate Warrior or Hulk Hogan wrestled, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
And, you know, keep in mind, you know, Warrior, Hogan, Savage, Flair, especially Terry Funk, Mick Foley. I want to exclude Mick Foley just because, you know, just of the style of wrestling that he did. You know, the guy was like falling back first.
But a lot of guys did. Tommy Dreamer did it. Reg, I mentioned Rey Mysterio. I mentioned the Hardys, the Dudleys. I mean, there's a lot of guys that, I mean, the smaller guys too. Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit, Dean Malenko, Psicosis.
You know, some of these guys weren't wrestling, you know, the style of wrestling that these guys are wrestling today. So,
Yeah. So, you know what? It's not.
I got to keep in mind, you know, dudes like Hogan, they've had both hips replaced, knee replacements, you know, for Terry Funk.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're not wrestling like this super crazy style. So, you know, just imagine, you know, what these guys that are, you know, doing the high flying, you know, Lucha Libre and Strong Style combined, excuse me, you know, this kind of style, you know, combined and, you know, doing it like almost every day. It hurts. And, you know, speaking for myself, you know, I go to the gym, you know, fairly, you know, regularly, and I do yoga and stuff like that. Now I'm in pain. You know, I'm not like no spring chicken, but I'm not old. But, you know, my body's in pain just from doing the stuff that I do, you know, even just sitting in a chair, you know, for endless hours a day, you know, that's going to put some wear and tear on you as well, you know.
Yeah.
You know, everything, you know, leaves a mark on you.
True.
But when you're wrestling the way that these guys are wrestling, it's pretty intense. And, you know, trying to keep up with the WWE schedule, I don't think it's a reality anymore. You're going to see more and more guys getting injured, you know, much more quickly.
Yeah, he's been done for a while. And, Ted Turner said Bret Hart predicted he was done. His career is done. He just doesn't know it yet. Yeah. A lot of guys don't want to come to grips with it. It's the same thing with athletes. You know, football players will say, I can do one more year. Basketball players especially. I can do one more year. I can play one more year. And it's kind of the same thing with wrestlers, man. They don't want to lose that, especially the older wrestlers, man. I don't want to lose that spot. Get that spot. Oh, it's all about the spot, you know?
Well, you know, it's you know, the money is one thing, but just that adrenaline rush that these guys get from going out in front of these crowds.
Being on TV, sure, man. It's
addictive.
It's you have this other persona. Same thing with, come on, man, my favorite band is they're 70 years old and they're touring still. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Sabbath, but it's like enough is enough already. Like, I mean, there's only so much you can do that hasn't been done before.
Yeah.
And I'm all about nostalgia. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I feel like your body will tell you when you're done.
Yeah.
And it's up to you to come to grips with your body, your mind. Like, okay, I can't do this anymore. So now I have to do something else. And a lot of guys don't know how to do that. But now in this new era of sports entertainment, these guys have an outlet now. They have the WWE Network. They can do commentary. They have all these original shows. They can do DVDs. And, like, he's going to get a box set, you know. Ring of Honor is doing – Ring of Honor got stuff for him already. I mean, it's just – he's got that. Am I selfish in saying I want to see him go one more round with Nakamura? Of course. Anybody in their right mind would love to see that match one more time. Nakamura would have probably loved to have it one more time, you know.
Yeah, you know, he's coming around the bend. He's got his match against Sami Zayn in March, which is coming up next month.
Yep.
Hasn't been, you know, announced on television just yet, but certainly will very soon. And, you know, this is something that, you know, Daniel Bryan wanted before the Beast in the East event that was on July 4th of 2015. And the guy's finally in the company, and the match is just not going to happen. And, you know, but to keep ourselves grounded, you know, look at, you know, all the guys from wrestling just ever. You know, CM Punk wanted his match with Austin. Hogan wanted his match with Cena. Flair wanted his match with Cena.
Hogan
a got lot the, of guys want their match with Cena.
Hogan got the Rock. The Rock wanted Hogan. He got Hogan.
Yeah.
You know,
we're, you know, we did a show a while back, you know, called, you know, I forgot the precise title, but, it was focused on guys that you didn't think, you know, wrestled each other, but they did. And, you know, a lot of guys have, you know, crossed paths, you know, one way or another, you know, whether it's been in a tag match or they actually had a singles match, you know, somewhere. But you know what? At the end of the day, you know, not everybody's going to get a chance to face everybody. It's just how, you know, life goes. And, you know, some guys, you know, they're just born in the wrong era. You know, there's going to be some guys that can't face Billy Graham. There's going to be some guys that can't face Bob Backlund or, you know, Ric Flair or whoever, Harley Race. And, you know, that's just the way it goes. You know, that's why we do Fantasy Warfare. That's why we're doing Martin Luther King of the Ring tournament. You know, just, you know, some things are impossible for whatever reason. And you know, thank God we have an imagination so we can at least, you know, wonder, you know, how it would turn out.
Yeah.
At the very least.
Absolutely. Good point. So I was down in Florida seeing some family, and my cousin is a huge MMA guy. And while they were doing, they have Fox has the UFC, like the fight night. It's like the free version of whatever pay-per-views they have every month. And during the prelims, it was announced that CM Punk finally had an opponent, finally, you know, after a year.
Yeah,
and
like he won a match on one of the events.
He didn't win at all. He hasn't fought yet.
No, I'm talking about the guy that won the opportunity.
Yes, he won an opportunity to fight him, yeah.
Yeah.
So that gets announced, and then 2 days later, it gets announced that Punk has to go and get back surgery.
Yeah.
Part of me is a little sympathetic, but part of me really is saying karma's a bitch. And I say that just the way how he handled the whole situation with WWE. You know, now you're 37 years old, you want to do mixed martial arts, but it's something. He's been hurt twice already, and he's been in the fucking promotion for 2 years, and he hasn't fought yet.
Yeah.
So I know Dana White is salivating over a payday for pay-per-view buys because everybody's going to buy it when he fights, if he ever fights.
But also, too, you know, the longer the wait, you know, the lesser the interest in the fight.
Yeah, it's true.
And that's just my thought.
Yeah, and, you know, and I think the real fight fans can give a shit about him. Be honest with you, because you know what?
How many real, you know, fight fans are there? You know, there's a lot of people, you know, when these matches go down, you know, say, you know, Pacquiao versus Mayweather. Most of the people that bought, you know, that $100 fight, including myself, I'm not a big boxing fan, but I wanted to see the fight.
Yeah, we bought the Ronda Rousey fight 2 months ago when she lost to that chick. Holly Holm, because we wanted to see, you know, this chick fight Ronda Rousey. There's a big hype behind it. They get good pay-per-view buys. They have a nice audience. You know what I'm saying? They draw. You know, they sell out almost everywhere they go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's still popular. But like you said, enough is enough. You know, like, come on, man. I mean, you're 37 years old. You know, what are you going to do? You're going to get a back surgery, and then you're going to heal another 6 months, and you fight maybe the end of the year after being in a company for 2 years. So,
yeah, so how long is it going to be? 2017 when this fight actually happens, or 2018?
I don't know.
You know, the more you get older, you know, the slower the healing process too, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I hope the fight actually goes down, you know, I'd love to see it. You know, I don't really have, you know, a negative opinion on the man. I don't have a positive opinion on the man. But I'd like to see him, you know, fulfill his dream. You know, it's a big deal to, you know, leave the WWE. I could totally understand, you know, where he was coming from, you know, when the whole, you know, the shit hit the fan. Because frankly, when you're hurt, especially like these guys, you just get angry. And, you know, that pain, you know, really drives like, you know, a lot of decision making. And you know, maybe not for the best, you know, also not for the worst. And, you know, I felt he definitely made a good decision by leaving because, you know, frankly, well, you know, if he were to stay, you know, what's really, you know, in the cards for, you know, CM Punk, you know, as far as WWE goes.
I don't want to rehash the whole the thing, but the way he dealt with it was pretty douchey. You know, he made it seem like, okay, all this bad stuff is going on, and now I'm advocating for better health care. I'm advocating for guys, and I'm advocating for people who don't have a voice. And part of his voice of the voiceless, part of his whole persona was an actual shoot, and the actual shoot got him to superstardom. See where I'm going? Like, I think he took advantage of his push and made light of stuff that was already people already aware of.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that kind of thing.
You know, listen, at the end of the day, you know, with any kind of, you know, professional sports, you know, whether people want to admit it or not, they're going to really begin, you know, these promoters are going to really push these guys for all they're worth. And I could imagine, you know, what was it? Ted Turner's mentioning Don Tony thinks Punk is bipolar.
Yeah. By the way, Don Tony sent me a care package. It's not wrestling related, but he sent me a baseball pack care package. So,
that's awesome.
DT, if you're listening, thank you. He knows I'm a big baseball fan, so he sent me something. So that was pretty cool. I came home to a nice package from Don Tony. So
awesome.
Thank you, Don Tony. Yeah, Don Tony does think he's bipolar.
Yeah. I don't know if it really comes down to, you know, bipolar or not. I just feel with the nature of the business, and just with how cutthroat it is and, you know, what these guys go through physically, I feel at the end of the day, you know, he doesn't really hold back. There's not much of a filter with, you know, CM Punk ever, especially when he was in ROH. And, you know, he had a platform, you know, through his friend, you know, Cole Cabana, you know, to keep this short. And, you know, he just, you know, said what he felt. You know, he was able to go on his friend's show, you know, whenever he wants. They're always hanging out. And, you know, he took advantage of the time.
Yeah, that's fine, Dave.
To speak his mind. And,
that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I just think he took advantage of his position. And once he didn't like what was going on, he took his ball, he went home. And then tried to make them look foolish by saying, well, I was hurt, I was this, I was that. Meanwhile, he's been doing that for X amount of years to get to where he had to be. And once he got to the point where he needed to be, at the top, it was like, ah, well, I don't like what's going on now. Same thing with Austin. Austin pulled the same shit and then realized...
Brock,
and you know what happened, Dave? They all came back. Because their bread is not always buttered, and the grass isn't always greener on the other side. So, you know,
job's a job. That's it,
right? You know, and if you again, and I listen, I applaud him for what he did in terms of going into the career at that age. I'm having struggle with that right now. Like, you know, when you do something for so long and you're comfortable in your comfort zone, you kind of try to, not that you're resisting change, but you fear it to the point where you're second guessing moves that you would have made 20 years ago. It's that kind of party, and I can applaud him for that. And that also gave him other opportunities, like the Marvel thing, where he's writing comic books now. I mean, it gave him his push, his world title, cult of personality, voice of the voiceless push, got him all these extracurricular things. So why not use that as a launch pad? He didn't like any of it, but he was kind of a hypocrite because he was the top guy. So if you don't like what's going on, don't take the push. If you don't like what's going on, don't take what they're giving you. And then when you get it and you don't like it, don't leave and go, well, I'm, you know, the doctor didn't give me this. They want me to have, you know, they want me to fight her. I got the staph infection. I got this. I got that. Come on, man. Stop. Everybody who runs their mouth, everybody who says shit, winds up coming back. I'm not saying he's coming back, but they all come back because it's all they know. If he can do that, then if he can carry on and not come back and have a couple of fights, I don't think he's going to have more than one or two fights. I mean, at 37 years old, what are you you're not Randy Couture, you know?
He's not Herschel Walker.
You are first of all, no one is Herschel Walker. Don't get that twisted. Herschel Walker at 55 years old is in better shape than half the people we know, half the wrestlers we watch on TV, all the indie guys on the indie circuit right now, and he's 55 years old. And he could probably win an MMA fight right now. So, anyway, let's see what else I got here. Bret Hart had successful surgery to remove his cancer. I hope he heals well. I'm sure he will. I think they caught it early.
Yeah, they did.
So I'm hoping, you know, as much as another guy who ran his mouth and realized, well, I should come back and, you know, and contribute. Because at the end of the day, an old-school wrestling fan like myself, an old-school wrestling fan like yourself, wants guys like him to still be around healthy enough to contribute to the cause, to the business, because we like what they've done as performers back in the day. Listen, I was not a huge Bret Hart fan, but I respected the shit out of him. I love some of his matches. At a time where they were not the big dog, he was their big dog, and he carried that company for a long time. And I think he got and earned everything he deserved, you know?
Yeah.
There is so many things, intangible-wise, Bret Hart brought to the table. And, again, wasn't a big fan of his, but I respected his work and I loved his stuff, especially as a tag team guy. I'm a tag team mark. Anybody who knows me knows I'm a tag team guy. But I'm glad he's still around because he's got a story. And I like those stories. So,
yeah, I'm not the biggest Bret Hart fan, but, you know, I don't want to see the guy suffer or anything like that. And we've already endured a lot of celebrity deaths over the year, so it's good to hear that the guy's doing all right, and, you know, he successfully had the cancer removed, that they caught it early. So, regardless of what, negative stuff has happened over the years with the Hitman, it's good to hear that he's doing all right.
Yeah, absolutely. My sentiments exactly. All right, I have one more piece of news. Since you and I will not be here next week, you do have a filatorial coming, though. Don't you worry. I actually got to watch the Sunny video, so I do my review on there.
Oh, God.
So I'll save it. You guys have to tune in next week for that. And I go on a little, you know, like a little over an hour. Maybe I'll add stuff to it. I don't know. So you'll be at NXT.
Are we talking about black guys next week?
Yeah, we are, actually. I did bring up Black History Month in my rant, so.
Very good.
And then the week after that, we have our friend Greg Klein, who asked to come back on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, and we always love to have Greg Klein back on the show.
I'd like to have any of our guests back.
Yeah, for him to ask us, and Greg's a pretty busy dude, I got to show him some love. So,
hopefully I'll be awake for the show.
Exactly. I just want to announce, I think it's February 26th, which is not this Friday coming, but the next Friday, will be a Ring of Honor pay-per-view. It's going to be the 14th anniversary edition. I'm going to be doing a pre-show, hopefully with Rick Darrow from Talk Brunch. We're going to pre-record it. So far, scheduled to appear, Dalton Castle, ROH World Tag Team Champion, War Machine, ROH World TV Champ, Mr. ROH Roddy Strong. And here's the card so far. You'll definitely dig this card. Tomohiro Ishii versus Hirooki Goto. IWGP Heavyweight Champ, the Rainmaker himself, Mr. Okada, with the best hype man in wrestling, Gato, taking on Moose with Stokely Hathaway. That's going to be a good match.
Interesting.
The Briscoes versus Tanahashi and Michael Elgin.
Wow.
Yeah. That's going to be a fucking Dave Mega Powers slab of beef match of the night.
Tougher than a $2 steak championship.
You are not lying, partner. Six-man tag team match. Young Bucks teaming up with Bullet Club partner Kenny the Cleaner Omega, taking on IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion Kushida, ACH, and Reborn Matt Sydal.
Wow.
Good match. And your main event right now is a triple threat for the ROH World Heavyweight Championship. Jay Lethal defending his strap with his pal Truth Martini versus Adam Cole, baby, and Mr. Kyle O'Reilly.
Sweet.
Good, good card. Also, speaking of New Japan, new junior tag team champions. Ricochet and the hell's his partner? Who's Ricochet's
Matt
partner?
Sydal.
Matt Sydal. Yeah, they won the junior tag team champions this week.
Nice.
So shout out to them. I almost forgot who they were. I didn't write it down. So either way. Anyway, I think that's it, Mega Powers. Do you have any? It's on regular pay per view, Ted Turner. Do you have any news before we take a break?
Well, I don't have any news, but I wanted to get your insight on the Martin Luther King of the Ring tournament.
Well, I must tell you, the most excitement I got was Surfer not knowing who the Nigger Taker was.
Yeah, I was surprised.
I think Surfer thought that was a work, that you and Tony were just being obnoxiously tongue-in-cheek racist about it.
No, there is an actual wrestler named
the Nigger Taker. I'm aware of the Nigger Taker. I'm not. I like the brackets. I thought Mr. Africa was going to be a bit of get more of a push. Probably not going to happen. But again, it was well done, man. Well done so far.
So, who's your pick for the Martin Luther King of the Ring tournament?
Man, I gotta go with either Zeus. Well, let me. I guess I'll play it. I should play it, right?
Because yes,
you put me on a spot here. I'll go with or the Nigger Taker. I'm not taking the Black Scorpion because I don't think he's black. You think he's black. I don't think he's black.
Well, the Black Scorpion is one of the top seeds. He's tied with Zeus for top seed of the tournament.
Yep.
So far, Tony C has given his vote of confidence for the Nigger Taker. Surfer didn't know who to pick, so I picked Orlando Jordan for him. So right now you're going for Zeus.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Zeus and the Nigger Taker and Orlando Jordan are right now rant EM Radio picks.
So we're announcing the winner at the Black Achiever, right?
Yes. We're going to go through the entire tournament at the Black Achiever Awards. If you want, this is a fantasy warfare contest. If you want in, either message Phil or I, about book the tournament. That's basically what it is. You're booking the tournament.
Yeah.
Reach out to one of us with your full tournament breakdown, including the inaugural second chance affirmative action Rumble Royal match, where all the losers of the tournament have a second chance to get into the finals of the Martin Luther King of the Ring tournament. And, you get to pick the winner, and this is going to be played out through Black Achiever Awards on Wednesday, February 24th on rantemradio.com. And, message Phil or I, or send an email out to turnbuckle throwbacks1@gmail.com. Right. And we're going to go through all the entries, and we're going to pick the best one.
Right.
Do we have any entries?
No, not so far. Not yet.
We don't have any entries.
No,
so,
sir.
So, worst comes to worst, I'm just going to book the fucking tournament myself.
Pretty much. Cheap plug for Matty Legend. Go to facebook.com/moviesZeusified. You will not be disappointed. It's funny shit.
He's got some great Photoshop.
Yeah, Matt is Matt's our Photoshop go-to guy. We have a couple of
guys. I was trying to reach out to him, but I had to have Felonious Punk do the Martin Luther King of the Ring tournament.
Felonious did a fantastic job. Matt's been our guy for a minute. You know, Matt's a busy dude, so we don't want to bust his balls. But we have other guys in the cut that do stuff for us. Of course, Felonious is a fellow podcaster, brother-in-arms. He's also a wonderful, wonderful human being, as well as a very, very smart dude in terms of talking wrestling and life in general. So that was that piece that on that was so well done, though. I love that graphic he did for us.
Yeah, so. It was incredible. We're getting some inquiries if this is on our Facebook page. It's not on the main Facebook page. It's in our secret group. Just for the sake of not offending any of our average Facebook fans.
Yeah, Dave will post it on the. You know what, Dave? While we're on break, if you could just put it in the group, put the group page on the in chat.
So yeah,
people can go and see.
I'm gonna bump the tournament brackets, so it's like at the top of the page. So if you wanna join in, if you wanna do the tournament, we got the full brackets. It's actually a gimmick tournament. You're booking also the match types. I already got all the gimmick matches for the first round. You can do the second round and the finals and all that other stuff and play it out however you want. You know, this is your thing. Best one is gonna be played out throughout the entire Black Achiever Awards on February 24th, Wednesday. I'm RandyMRadio.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Black History Month continues on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As soon as we come back from this break, let's plug some of our friends, and I'm going to wet the whistle, see what the wife is doing, and I'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, you. Thank you so much for downloading this. We really appreciate it. Please continue to support the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast by going to iTunes and Stitcher and leaving a review. Go to TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com, get all of our back catalog as well as all of our friend shows. Go to RantEMRadio.com, click on the live link every Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and of course all of our friend shows over there as well. We have 4 different t-shirts. You want to rock our gear? Go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks. Get the fresh gear right now. Of course, as always, thank you so much for supporting the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We appreciate it, and we love you all. Peace!
If you're looking for hot, wet, sizzling wrestling talk, you need to listen to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. 4 hot studs from New Jersey, guaranteed to satisfy your cardinal wrestling desires. Listen to them on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audioboo, and the Shining Wizards Network. Visit them at ShiningWizards.com. It's wrestling talk. Ooh, and talk about wrestling.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly uncensored and anti-PC look at entertainment, pop culture, professional wrestling, and current events. We also do a weekly top 10 list and fan casting. You can find our show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or the Satchel app for Android, or you can download direct from Libsyn. So come on out of your safe space and join us in the real world, won't you?
Hey you! Yeah, you over there. If you're into professional wrestling, heavy metal music, and getting hammered, Neckbreaker Podcast was designed just for you.
Wrestling headlines, metal panels, and guest interviews with past alumni, including Suffocation, Eric Bischoff, Hammerfall, Chris Jericho, and many more.
Grab a 30 rack and listen to Neckbreaker on iTunes, the Shining Wizards Network, Stitcher Radio, the Blast Syndicate, or just grab the episodes right now from neckbreaker.net. Cheers and beers.
What?
The following announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order.
Forget about that. You just
Actually,
brought up
Gary Hart will whip his ass.
Tony C just brought up Ike Turner. How awesome was Lawrence Fishburne in that movie?
Oh,
oh
yeah. Excellent.
I'm sorry to get off topic, but he was amazing. As
Play
Ike.
That role. Nah. I got San Antonio. Nah.
Ike said he only hit her once.
He beat her with a shoe.
Nah,
he said he only smacked her once.
He smacked her once, but he hit her with everything else.
I hit her with everything but the kitchen sink now, dog, but I'm saying.
Did you see that? You see that look in his eye?
Natty is more of a man than Rage.
Ooh, wait a minute now.
Oh, yes, Works.
Wait a second. This is the co-host of the Wrestling Colon Show. You call
yes, Works.
Sir.
That was all so right. Disrespectful.
All right.
Nah, Steve, I can't have you.
That's
you,
why your
you
girl's, about,
her, like, you
that's why your
star,
girl's about to get eliminated from the Amazing Race.
You see that? I've never questioned your manhood, Rage.
Bullshit, you didn't, Ike. Surfer.
Tony.
You never ever questioned your manhood.
To help
no, you did it. Yo, you always do it.
How?
The preceding announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order. The Wrestling Call-In Show, every Saturday evening on RantEMRadio.com.
Hey, it's Mike from the Midnight Jury. Join myself and my co-hosts, Adam, Cal, and Sydney, as we bring to you the best in 80s and 90s pop culture, pro wrestling, and horror movies. You can join in the conversation on Facebook and Twitter, and we are available at our home at WLWstudios.com, along with the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio. Forget about Blu-ray, forget about iPhones, and forget about flat-screen TVs, and travel back with us to the last old-school generation when it was all about Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and our home at WLWstudios.com.
Hey, this is Innovator of Selfie, Sonny Ono, on Turnbuckle Throwbacks, and it's the best information on professional wrestling.
We are the nation of domination!
Oh, yeah.
We're black.
Well, what, Dave?
We're black.
Yes.
And we're back.
Well, I am black. I got traded to the black delegation, by the way. I still can't believe Rage traded me to the black delegation for Condoleezza Rice. What a dick.
Rage is Rage.
Yes.
Yeah. That's all I can say.
You can listen to Rage and his partner Lee Champion every Tuesday evening after the rant on Freaks and Effing Geeks. Fine show.
Now, I have a question for you, sir.
Go right ahead, sir.
I'm pretty sure I already know the answer to this, but I want to ask it anyway on our show.
Go ahead, baby.
Was there a reply? From the Booker man himself, Double A, did he accept the Mega Slam 2 challenge to go against Rage?
And
I proposed.
He did not. He replied, but I don't think he wants to. Well, I don't think he can. make the trip up here to
He doesn't have to make the trip here. He just needs to eat wherever the hell he is and have some sort of access to a camera so we can watch him eating while he's facing Rage.
Well, here's what I propose, okay? They want to have some kind of event booked for SummerSlam like we did last year with MegaSlam. They want to have it booked by WrestleMania weekend. So
that's coming up quick.
I know. So if you want to present that idea to AA, I think you seriously should take a Tuesday, 5 minutes out of your Tuesday night, and call in to the rant. You know, they'll always take your call because you're the Mega Powers. But they'll take your call, and you do that. You know, maybe they'll do that. I don't know. Something... Something's got to be done, or something has to be set in stone by rainy weekend so we can properly have something.
I'll think of something.
Yeah, okay.
Because we know that all the great ideas for Rant EM Radio come from me.
Yes. We know, Dave. We know.
Flat out.
We know, Dave. You are the bee's knees. We know. We know, buddy. We know all about the Mega Powers. All right. So, Black History Month continuing on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. You know, and I made this a point to say that a lot of it is may seem tongue-in-cheek, but it really isn't. Dave and I take this pretty seriously. We put a lot of thought into it.
Yeah.
I think we feel that the African-American aspect of sports entertainment sometimes goes overlooked. Is that safe to say? And a lot of guys don't get their due. So I think Dave and I took it upon ourselves to give them their due. And there's some guys who's gotten their due, and then there's a lot of guys who haven't.
Yeah.
So that's why every year now for 28 or this year 29 days, we give you Black History Month on Turnbuckle Throwbacks on our Facebook pages. We've been posting stuff. I hope you guys have been enjoying that. We also hope that you enjoyed what we've been doing. Go back last year. We did some really cool shit. This year, no different. And tonight, we're going to focus on a group.
Yeah. Faction. Now,
a faction, which WWE was big on back in the 90s because it was a thing to do. It also gave a lot of guys a platform that they wouldn't get normally, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Because there were just so many spots that there weren't too many spots that were available to these guys, you know?
Well, you know, typical WWE, WWF, you know, they have the best of the best. And frankly, everybody cannot be in the top spot. So... everybody's got to be spread out, unfortunately, not evenly. And, you know, just with the nature of the beast, not everybody's going to get booked to the best of their ability. And just with human nature, you know, some guys, you know, feel slighted, so they, you know, they don't come 100%, you know, to the ring. And, you know, just with the wear and tear that these guys put on their bodies and, you know, mentally, physically... you know, not everybody's going to, you know, rise to the occasion, despite the opportunity. Fortunate for us, for the Monday Night Wars, everybody was working their ass off to the best of their ability to really, you know, not just put on a show, but, you know, really, you know, get their name out there. And we had guys like Chris Jericho, who came from WCW, who... you know, had a background in Mexico, had a background in Japan, and at this time, you know, most people consider him to have like the best debut of all time. And, you know, for the group that we're going to be focusing on tonight is, you know, some guys that, you know, had a, you know, I don't want to say a sketchy background, but had like a background just kind of like jumping from gimmick to gimmick, you know. So, you know, had a background in different different countries, different territories, but never really got their just due. And main man, Farouk Ron Simmons, was the very first African-American world heavyweight champion in professional wrestling.
So this goes, of course, we're speaking of the Nation of Domination, obviously. We're taking this back to 96, okay? We all know the USWA was a promotion formed in Memphis that was founded when CWA and World Class combined. It was ran by Jerry Jarrett, Fritz Von Erich, even Karen Von Erich got involved in a while, but Lola was the main player. It was a promotion that went on for, I think, 8 or 9 years. Okay. There was a group led by two white guys, PG-13, which was was a tag team consisting of JC Ice, which was Jamie Dundee, son of the legendary Bill Dundee.
The other superstar.
Yep, the other superstar, and Wolfie D. And they formed a Black Panther-ish military militant group called the Nation of Domination. It had guys like somebody named Kareem Olajuwon, not the basketball player.
That was Hakeem Olajuwon.
Right, Hakeem Olajuwon, exactly. Sir Mohammed, you know him better as Mo for Men on a Mission. Some guy named Elijah, which was a Spanish guy named Harry Del Rios. Brakus, if you know Brakus from WWF in the 90s.
Also ECW.
And ECW. Tracy Smothers was Shaquille Ali.
You had my favorite member of the Nation.
Right, right. Tracy Smothers was a member of the Nation. He was a member of the FBI and ECW and the Young Pistols. And he was a tag team champion.
And he's been a part of every ethnic group possible.
And he was a badass tag team champion with Mick Foley in Japan, too. And then, of course, there was Queen Moesha. You know her better as Miss Jackie or Jacqueline Moore. But the group didn't get very much success. However,
which is shocking because everything is over in Memphis.
Yeah. Well, I think the talent outside of Tracy Smothers, and not for nothing, PG-13 was a pretty decent tag team considering they were two skinny white dudes. Jamie Dundee can wrestle, you know.
Well, they got a lot of like press in, you know, Pro Wrestling Illustrated and you know, all those other after mags. Like, a lot of people knew who they were, but you know, they just didn't have the access on television. Like, you know, eventually they got to WWE, and you know, they had like a little run there. It wasn't too over, but it wasn't really until they were a part of the Nation that you know, things really, you know, lifted off.
So let's capitalize on this, moving on to the WWF in late 96. Farouk, obviously, Dave mentioned, was Ron Simmons, and Simmons was just getting over the gladiator gimmick, which he hated, but he took it. And if you watch the Legends interview he did with JBL recently on the network, he explains it in detail, which is pretty cool, and it's a good segue that Dave and I decided to do this. So he gives up the gladiator gimmick, thank God, and he hooks up with a guy named Clarence Mason. Now, Clarence Mason was a guy, his real name was Herman Stevens, and he was...
Wasn't he an actual attorney as well?
He was. He, what do you call it, he tried to get an internship with WCW when he was in law school, and he befriended Ernie Ladd. Ernie Ladd managed to get him a meeting with Vince McMahon, and they were signing a contract. So he was a lawyer, but always wanted to be a performer in sports entertainment. So he played off the whole O.J. Simpson gimmick and became Clarence Mason, sort of like a Johnny Cochran.
Yeah.
So they had a bunch of like no-name guys. The group was based on pretty much like the Nation of Islam. And they wore like they all adopted Islamic names. They had the headgear,
Farrakhan.
Right. They had the Black Panther Party gimmick going. They had the salute, the tirades, and they had PG-13 crush D'Lo Brown and Savio Vega. That was the initial run of the Nation of Domination, right? am I missing anything so far? No, am I good?
You're good. You're good.
Okay.
You know, the initial, you know, run of the Nation was very much coming off like a black militant group. There was no bones about it. You know,
nope, not at all.
And you know, I even sent you, a video clip of, you know, an interaction between, you know, the Nation of Domination with the Hart Foundation.
Yeah, I'm going to play that, but I want to...
DX.
Yeah, I'm going to play that in a minute. But before that happened, their first feud was with Ahmed Johnson, which I thought made sense because it was, the black-on-black thing, and they were calling Ahmed Johnson the Uncle Tom, and...
Well, plus Ahmed Johnson was like nowadays a lot of people make fun of him because he was sloppy as shit.
He was over at this time, absolutely.
He was incredibly over.
Yes, he was.
They gave him the Intercontinental strap.
Yeah.
It didn't matter if he was sloppy or not, or if you could understand his promos or not. He was over. That was it. Didn't matter how many knee pads the man had on. He was over.
Yeah. Yeah. This led up to the 96 of SummerSlam, I think it was, and he fought Ahmed Johnson, Farouk, and then at the Rumble of 97, I think.
Yeah.
They assisted him again, so it was a pretty much one-sided, but Farouk, Crush, and Savio were the guys who mainly teamed up together for the initial push, and they had their first big thing in your houses. They fought Bart Gunn, Goldust, Flash Funk. They had that Chicago Street fight at WrestleMania 13 with the LOD and Ahmed Johnson.
And also keep in mind, Crush was fresh out of prison at this point.
Yes, he was.
He had a tattoo on his forehead.
He had a tattoo on his forehead. He had the gimmick that he was a angry, hated the world white guy who hung out with a bunch of black militants.
I don't think they even said on television why he went to prison, but... they were putting it pretty hardcore that he was fresh out of prison. He had a chip on his shoulder, and he wanted to make a point coming back to the WWF.
Yeah, and it was a good role for him. I like Crush better as I like Crush as a heel anyway. I didn't like him as the Kona Crush face. I didn't like that at all. But they, you know, there was so many incarnations of the Nation now, because it became Farouk got angry with the group but kept D'Lo, and I totally forgot about this, but you reminded me that Farouk actually, this led to Farouk's anger when he fought. I forgot he had a shot at Taker at King of the Ring.
Yeah, he has a
title match,
world heavyweight title match against the Undertaker.
Yeah, so he lost mainly because Vega and Crush were whatever, they argued ringside and got him the loss. But
yeah.
And then we move closer to the year of 97 into 98. In June of 97, Farouk promised that they would do a bigger, better, better, and blacker version of the Nation. So they fired Crush. They fired Clarence Mason. They fired Savio Vega, retaining just D'Lo Brown. And this led to the induction of Kama Mustafa. You know him better as the Godfather. You know him better as Papa Shango, the Soul Taker, in USWA. And Ahmed Johnson, who turned on Undertaker during a tag match against Farouk and Kama Mustafa. Then, of course, Ahmed Johnson, one of many injuries, was out of the group, and he was replaced by a very young Rocky Maivia.
The Blue Chipper.
The Blue Chipper. So we have that, don't we? The Rocky turns heel for the first time. Is that what you sent me?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's play that. Let's get the... I'm glad you sent me these clips because we have to wait for fucking YouTube because I didn't make any clips of this. I was too busy. But yeah, so now the Blue Chipper, who made his debut with the Survivor Series in 97, is now already a heel until a year in, which was the best thing he could do. Let's take you now to this.
Oh, you know what? Breaks loose. Oh. Then the nation would be in trouble. They only have three members, JR.
Yeah, there'll be a man short, and no doubt that Farouk, somewhere down the line, I'm sure, be looking to recruit another member. But be that as it may, right now, we've got a pretty physical battle here with down goes Farouk, the former Florida State Seminole, driven face first into the canvas.
And you can bet the Boricuas are watching this matchup as well. The Boricuas coming into their own as well. Both, look at the, oh my goodness.
Uh-oh.
The official knocked silly on that one.
Well, Jack Doan, the referee, knocked down. Oh. Maybe knocked out.
And a cover here, but there's no one there to count.
Good.
It's unfortunate.
Wait a minute. There's Rocky Maivia. There's The Rock. Great to see The Rock back. What's he doing in the ring?
Nice shoes.
Checking on a referee to make sure he's okay.
What?
Wait a minute. Tell me.
What?
Rocky, come on.
Rocky Maivia coming out of the crowd.
The blue chipper comes out of the crowd.
The blue
Rocky
chipper.
Maivia's
the blue chipper.
For his knee injury has been complete. And what is going on here? His mom and daddy watching in Tampa. They got to be sitting at home in disbelief. What?
Whoa! I think we have just seen a new member of the nation. I can't believe this.
This ain't right.
Yeah. So, game changer, guys. Game changer. The Rock turning heel and joining the nation was probably the best thing he ever did.
Yeah, because when he was Rocky Maivia, you know, regardless of what kind of opportunities they were handing this guy, nobody was giving a shit. I remember personally, you know, growing up watching this, you know, live while it was happening, I could care, you know, I could care less about The Rock, you know, what his, you know, his family background was with Rocky Johnson and High Chief Peter Maivia. You know, when I saw him, I was like, this guy just looks ridiculous. And I was not a big, I was not a Triple H fan until I don't know, like fairly recently, probably when Motorhead started being his theme music.
So it was almost 10 years ago.
Yeah. So needless to say, you know, this was a big game changer for The Rock. I was still not a fan of The Rock when he switched over, but it gave him a chance to, you know, really get his personality across. And You know, he was cutting his teeth with the Nation of Domination. Like, he was still, like, rough around the edges. Excuse me. But it gave him the opportunity to really just, you know, let loose. You know, while he was the blue chipper, you know, the face, you know, granted he already won an Intercontinental title. But, you know, it didn't really register with the fans. And, you know, frankly, the fans weren't connecting with the baby faces like they used to. And, you know, it was no surprise because, you know, how could you really get behind somebody like Rocky Maivia? You know, what was there to connect with that kind of wrestler? You know, back in the day, you could almost like throw anybody out there as a face and people would buy it. You know, Surfer, you know, spoke about this last week, you know, your guys were your guys, no matter what kind of color they were. But if you were a fan of theirs, you were excited that they won. And, you know, back in the day, you know, a good guy was a good guy. A bad guy was a bad guy. Nowadays, well, not nowadays, but back then, you know, with the Nation of Domination coming together in 97, it was, you know, the bad guys were more relatable to the fans, you know, with the music at the time coming out, you know, Nirvana from, you know, 91 and, you know, a lot of the punk stuff that was coming up from 94, 95. There was a lot of angst in the air. A lot of people, you know, just, you know, reality was setting in.
Oh, so forget about society aside. I mean, now WCW is a threat.
Yeah.
So it's now, so now
every, they were real. WCW right. was always like the workers' organization. So
yeah.
you know, I feel like a lot of factors were coming in. It wasn't just the atmosphere with wrestling. It was just the atmosphere with life in general. And people wanted to see more real stuff. They wanted to see some raw stuff, not the original Raw where they were like, you know, uncut, uncensored, and then when something would, you know, slightly go off script, you know, they would be flipping their wigs.
Right.
But, you know, people were, you know, pissed off around this time and they wanted to just let loose. And, you know, groups like the Nation of Domination, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know, all these NWO, you know, people that were, you know, going against the system and speaking their minds, you know, was really relating to the fans and it was getting over pretty big.
So it worked out for everyone at The Rock, the Blue Chipper, as Jim Ross would refer to him as.
My favorite nickname for a wrestler.
You would be the cog now of the Nation of Domination. And, but, well, things get interesting. And I don't want to get into the inter- – because, what I mean, after this, Rock turns. They start, you know, there's Los Boricuas. You know, because now Vega and Crush are on different teams. They have this thing called Gang Wars, and it goes back and forth. Kent Shamrock and the LOD get involved. Ahmed Johnson comes back. Rocky Maivia changes the name to The Rock. This is right before In Your House, Degeneration X pay-per-view. But before all that, there was a, what do you call it? Well, no, not before all that. This led to the trashing of the old Intercontinental title, but people forget about that too.
Yeah.
Austin, for some reason, there was controversy, and Austin had to defend the title against The Rock on a Raw. They gave Rock the IC strap. Austin forfeited him the title instead of defending it in a rematch because he wanted the world title. So, and Rock took the belt and threw it over a bridge in the river. So, that led to the championship belt that you saw right before Cody Rhodes brought back the old version of the Dave Milliken, or I think, was it Reggie Parks?
Was Reggie Parks, yeah.
Reggie Parks, right?
Yeah.
Did that IC belt. So, until about 3-4 years ago, you had this other IC title, but you had the original before that. That led to it. Then, in 98, The Rock wants to take leadership of the Nation. So he turns on, the whole Nation turns it back on Farooq.
Yeah.
They drop the Domination, now they're just the Nation. The Rock's in charge.
Well, one of the big turning points and one of the, you know, most memorable moments, you know, leading up to this turn was the gift giving.
Oh yes, I have that. Yeah.
Celebration.
Right. So you want to?
This was one of my. This is probably my favorite moment of the Nation of Domination.
No, before this match takes place, The Rock is here to clear up a few things. You know, at the last pay-per-view of No Way Out, the entire world witnessed a few things that really didn't make The Rock happy. So let The Rock clear him up. First things first, regardless of what happened, The Rock is still your Intercontinental Champion.
You tapped out, Rock,
hey,
at the hands of Ken Shamrock. And you may not have that title after WrestleMania on March 29th, buddy.
And of course, The Rock is here to clear up the simple fact that there is absolutely, positively, no dissension within the Nation.
You believe that, King?
Of course. He said
it. The Rock's here to let you guys know that, hey, The Rock doesn't harbor any hard feelings. As a matter of fact, The Rock feels like this. Hell, everybody wants to be like The Rock. So, boys, Camadillo, Mark Henry, I got a couple of gifts for you.
What's this?
Gentlemen, from the bottom of my heart,
wow,
The Rock gives you this. Three $15,000 solid gold Rolexes.
Whoa!
Comma, it's for you.
Unbelievable.
D'Lo, go ahead.
You know D'Lo Brown Hawk
is. A little heavy. And of course, Mark Henry.
We all do.
Now, I know your wrist is a little big, but don't worry. The Rock will take care of the extra gold links if they don't fit. Hold that, Jabari.
How generous is the Rock?
Now, I know you guys are surprised, but hey, back up 1 second, Mark. For you, Farouk, the Rock wants to make something perfectly clear. That I'm here to let you know that there is only one man in this entire world that's capable of leading the nation, and that's you.
Whoa, there you heard it, didn't you?
You see, the Rock feels like this, Farouk. Hey, you're the greatest thing since an egg white omelet. So from the bottom of my heart, the Rock offers you this to show his respect and admiration. Enjoy.
This has got to be something big, JR. Maybe probably a Picasso or something. Got to be rare art.
Well, you got to open it. Let's show the entire world.
Maybe a Renoir.
A Renoir, he says.
Don't let your emotion carry over. It's for you. Absolutely. Let's show the world. Let's show the world. As you
look
can
at
see.
Face.
Now, Farouk, I know you're getting emotional, and as a matter of fact, I can see you're getting teary-eyed.
What? Wait a minute. I don't think Farouk appreciates Rock's gesture of gratitude.
And his opponent from Annville, Pennsylvania, weighing in at 241 pounds, Steve Blackman.
Well, I can't believe what an ingrate that Farouk is turning out to be. What do you mean?
White
you
guy named Blackman.
The mouth, gave him a gift.
I like Blackman's other music better.
Rolex watches. That photograph with the Rock. Probably not worth $5. What? That's the Rock. Ladies and gentlemen, this should be a most interesting matchup. Steve Blackman has been undefeated thus far.
All right, so
thus far.
All right, so. So you get the gist of it, right? Are we going?
They
to
have end? The match, and you know, Farouk loses his shit and starts destroying the photo, the Rock.
Yeah, hold on, I'm going to that right now. Give me 1 second.
And the Rock didn't want that to happen. No way. And wait, oh, Blackman, he's got Farouk cradled, and there's three.
There you go.
Wins it. Blackman remains undefeated. What an upset here.
The Rock took the picture that Farouk was going to use. On Blackman.
The Rock, the Rock is not happy. He's mad. And Farouk can buy a nail in half right now. Oh, big deal. Farouk just lost the match. The Rock's portrait is damaged. Oh, this one could just explode in our faces here. The Rock's mind may be on WrestleMania and defending the Intercontinental title against Ken Shamrock. But Farouk's mind right now is on just being upset by Steve Blackman. Look at the Rock, how big hearted he is. He gave it back to him. What? Oh, look at this. Farouk is destroying the Rock's portrait. The portrait has been ripped in half, and it looks like the nation is being torn apart, too. What's up with this, JR? Are we seeing the end of the Nation of Domination?
Well, I don't know. Farouk is leaving the ring. And Farouk now has just motioned for the rest of the nation to follow him.
So that starts the breakup right there. And then after the breakup, Jim Ross interviews The Rock. Do you want to play that one?
Yeah.
All right, because they turn on Farouk.
Not at WrestleMania was quite an experience, I would assume, for everyone in the nation.
JR, shut your mouth and know your damn role. The fact of the matter is this. Ken Shamrock, after what you tried to do to The Rock last night at WrestleMania, you tried to end his career. The Rock can't hardly walk right. He's been spitting up blood all damn night, but it doesn't really matter. Because I'll tell you what, The Rock is still standing here like the man and a half that he is. Ken Shamrock, I got a big hand, and you know what that means. I'm going to lay the smackdown on you in a major way tonight. But on to something bigger and better. You know, Farouk, I just want to tell you this right here, right now. You showed The Rock last night a world that he wasn't too used to. As a matter of fact, no. You showed me something that I should have seen a long time ago. You opened my eyes to something, and I really appreciate that. And for that, I'm grateful. I just want to say this. You are the reason why The Rock has joined the nation. You are the reason why The Rock has been successful. And you are, without a shadow of a doubt, the reason why The Rock is still the Intercontinental Champion. For that, once again, I'm grateful. And after tonight, I guarantee that the nation will be the strongest it's ever been.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll... That's a little bit more than tough love. I cannot believe this. What I tell you before, how gutsy is The Rock? He came out here despite the fact he's got a bad angle.
It ain't over.
Huh?
Not like that. Get your ass back down here.
What? The ribs. And now The Rock is telling the rest of the nation to step back. And it looks like it may be rock bottom for Farouk.
You let this be a lesson to you, you stupid piece of trash. There's a reason why The Rock don't ever want you to think that you were ever the leader of The Rock, because The Rock is not only now the leader of the Nation of Domination, he's the ruler of the Nation of Domination. And before I leave, let me leave you with something.
Oh, another kick.
Take back that to Haiti where you come from.
He said, take that back to Haiti where you come from.
Racism on racism.
And that's what you call black on black crime, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Okay. And I just want to point this out too. And I have this in my notes here. Every one of these guys that are part of this group right now, all well-established African-American performers. And I'm talking about, obviously, Farouk being the first, quote-unquote, recognized black heavyweight champion. But we know JYD was the first on Mid-South.
Was it Bobo Brazil?
First U.S. champion, yeah. But JYD was the first Mid-South heavy black Mid-South heavyweight champion. And we'll get into that with Greg Klein in 2 weeks. This is Mark Henry's big push because they were looking to do something with him and they couldn't do anything with him. And D'Lo was always a good hand, and so was the Godfather and whatever, Papa Shango and 17 other aliases that he had.
The Good Father.
The Good Father, right. When he was with the Right to Censor, right?
Yes.
This goes, The Rock and D'Lo are having a feud with Ken Shamrock and Owen Hart. At Unforgiven in Your House, they lose to Shamrock, Farouk, and Blackman in a six-man. And then the night after on Raw, Rock and Mark Henry face Shamrock and Owen Hart in a tag match where Hart turned on Shamrock, joining the Nation as the co-leader with The Rock, right? So that's when the whole thing with I'm Not a Nugget, and Owen Hart, we all know, was a very popular wrestler and was very, very charismatic. So him being in that role was nothing short of brilliant, by the way. Almost as brilliant as having Crush Pryor as the other white member of the Nation, right?
Yeah.
So
it was super over. Like the whole I'm Not a Nugget thing, that was – people were like – salivating, like foaming at the mouth for him to say that comment.
Yeah.
You know, for his promos.
You know, and then by 98, the Monday Night Wars are well into full throttle. The NWO is hot. D-Generation X is now formed. And they do a very, very infamous parody of The Nation when Rock thoroughly humiliated China. And all that, and then they came out, and X-Pac was Mark Henry as Mizark, and Triple H was the Croc, you know.
So they all dressed up in blackface, which is pretty hysterical. But the Hart family was also involved in all this shit, too. And DX got in the middle of that and tried to, you know, and they did something terrible. They trashed the Nation of Domination's locker room and sprayed, like, racist stuff all over their walls and...
Go back to your country.
Go back to your country. Your Uncle Tom. And, you know, at this point, Farouk is now back in the fold. And he's pissed. And he confronts Vince McMahon. I'm not going to play the whole 9-minute clip, but this is Farouk.
Has fingers pointed toward the Hart Foundation.
Based upon the circumstances, last Monday... You asked for this opportunity to speak, Mr. Farouk?
No, we didn't ask for this opportunity to speak. We asked for this opportunity to come out here and ask you and to address why is there racism here in the World Wrestling Federation when you just said yourself last week or 2 weeks ago that there wasn't. Now you tell me what's that all about.
Let's take this one step at a time, please. On behalf of whomever it was that was responsible for the vandalism in your locker room, and to a certain extent, the racial slurs, on behalf of the World Wrestling Federation, we apologize for what happened.
Oh, you apologize? Do you think you can come out here and apologize to me for over 400 years of what we call antagonizing, slavery, washing your car, taking care of your kids, building your houses, building this country, and you think you can apologize just like that? Well, let me tell you something, man. I'm a new breed of black man, like the nation is. Hey, I'm gonna tell you how we are. Did you know what your apology is to me? This is how we take apologies, with these and with this.
Oh, wait just a minute. There is no racism here in the World Wrestling Federation. We don't allow it, won't allow it under any circumstances. And that's the bottom line.
Well, I'll tell you what. Ask my brother Rocky right here. Is there any racism here in the World Wrestling Federation?
Well, let's get off this subject, all right? Let's go to something else. We don't need to drive this into the ground. Let's get off this subject. Rocky?
You know, if you just shut your mouths for a second and listen to what I have to say, you might educate yourself. Hart Foundation, with what you did last week, you crossed a line you should never have crossed. Because now it is a black and a white thing. You know, and being a straight shooter I am, I've dealt with racism and discrimination all of my life.
You can hear the response from this capacity crowd.
And each and every time I was knocked down, I damn sure popped right back up. So Hart Foundation, I'm going to show you what it's like to deal with discrimination all of your life. But the difference between you and me is when I knock your asses down, you won't get back up.
Hart Foundation, it all started with a boat ride, but it's going to end with a blank fist right on the side of your white ass. Now, we are challenging you to a match next week right here. And if you got the guts, like you all say you do, then you'll accept the challenge. Come out here and show these people what kind of challenge.
And wait a minute, that challenge just might be answered.
There you go. So they come out, we didn't do it, blah, blah, blah. DX gets involved. But you see now, you know, what kind of impact they had.
Yeah.
As a group. And, you know, they didn't...
It's just a bit of the attitude in the Attitude Era.
Pretty much. I think... It's safe to say the Nation of Domination was probably one of the catalysts
of the Attitude Era. And I think bringing stuff like sexuality and racism and like utter violence to the forefront to compete with WCW, this was almost necessary. And I like that. I like that they gave these guys the platform. Every one of these guys could talk, which was cool, very cool. Everybody that was a part of the Nation, outside of Crush,
they were over.
They were all over, and they can cut promos, and they were all talented. There was
D'Lo Brown, you know, went on to a successful singles career. You know, wearing the chest protector
European Championship.
Yeah,
him and what do you call it? Him and X-Pac had a nice feud. They had a, you know, we all know what happened after they disbanded. The Rock went solo and joined the corporate stable. Owen Hart would, you know, before he passed away early in 98, would go on to do a tag team with Jeff Jarrett, and then he did the Blue Blazer thing and he passed away. D'Lo Brown and Mark Henry stayed a tag team and had some success. You know, D'Lo Brown had both the IC and the European titles. Mark Henry was Sexual Chocolate. The Silverback gimmick, I won't forget about that. They had a little bit of reunion in 99 when D'Lo realigned himself with the Godfather, imitating his pimp gimmick. D'Lo turned on him shortly after that, though. And as of right now, technically, Mark Henry and The Rock are still employed by the E. Well, of course, Mark Henry went on to win the WWE's version of the ECW Championship and the world title in 2011. Godfather was let go years ago. He comes back every couple of years for gimmick shit. We all know Farouk joined the APA, the Acolytes, with, you know, he first day with the Acolytes with Undertaker with the corporate ministry. Yep. And then they became the APA as themselves.
Drinking beer and kicking ass.
Which I come to find out, that was their idea.
Yeah.
The door, the fake door in the back, the beer drinking, the car playing, that was all their idea, and they were given the green light to go with it.
Vince gave them the okay.
And then, rightfully so, JBL inducted Ron Simmons to the Hall of Fame in 2012. And then The Rock headlined WrestleMania the following night, fighting John Cena. So, again, this group spurned a shit ton of talent. It also put all these really talented African-American pro wrestlers to the forefront and got them very much needed recognition and gave them a platform, you know, where in other places they wouldn't have gotten that platform.
You know, thank God Ron Simmons got to stop being Black Nito. You know, I got to, you know, become Farouk
Assad.
Yeah.
Oh, please. You got to watch it. Guys, seriously, go on the network. If you haven't seen it already, watch the Legends thing. It's about 45 minutes with JBL. And he talks about them when he made the costume for him. I'd play the clip. You'd have to watch the entire interview. You appreciate it.
Yeah, the whole interview is great. It's you know, he really goes he goes through his highs and his lows, and there's a lot of lows, but you know, his highs were the highest of the highs. And you know, again, the man went from being a Black Nito to Farouk Assad.
He was a world champion.
The first African American world heavyweight champion.
Three world champions in that stable.
Yeah.
Three world champions, multiple IC champions. So, they did something right.
World Tag Team Champions.
European, IC, you know.
They held them all.
They held them all, which, again,
except for the junior, the World Lightweight Heavyweight title.
Yeah. A credit to them.
They were a credit to their race as well.
Yeah. A very good addition to Black History Month. There are so many things right with this, and I loved it. And I'm a big Ron Simmons fan, as are you, and I think I'm just a fan of all these guys. I even like Clarence Mason, you know?
Yeah.
Like, all these guys were talented, man. Like, super over, like you mentioned before.
Like, you know, we went from Tracy Smothers as Shaquille Ali to, you know, Ron Simmons and The Rock. You know, how good can you get with this?
Yep. As Dave's phone goes off.
Yeah. Oh, Tony C. Is texting me. He says, Mark Henry also fathered 3 children, one located in Newark, so... Talk about rage.
Also fathered a hand with Mae Young.
So, you know, Rage has a nice little brother there, the hand.
Poor Rage.
Poor soul. And he lost Mega Slam. And he is a pretender to the throne of being the king of bacon. What a joke that was.
I am the king of bacon.
Lying to everybody.
Yeah, he's lying to everybody.
So everybody knows that I'm the king of bacon. Yeah. And everybody knows that I'm not going to be a part of Mega Slam 2.
I still think you should call into the rant and you know,
I'll think of something.
Try to promote that. So, anything else you want to add to the Nation of Domination or anything else before we start pulling this train into the I'm finished station?
You know, it's just an honor to be discussing the Nation of Domination during Black Wrestling History Month. On the rant and on the Shining Wizards Network, you know, we are the only podcast, as far as I know, that's covering Black wrestling history, and
we're covering it well. But I'm sure there's other podcasts that do it, but they're just pretenders to the throne.
Yeah, they're pretenders to the throne. We started it all, and it's stuff like this that you know, wrestling at the end of the day, I think for most fans, they see black and white and yellow and whatever. At the end of the day, it's all about green. That's the only color that matters. Though, really at the heart of it, we do have to recognize our fellow brothers that have paved the way for professional wrestling. It wasn't always an interracial mix. You know, it's a big deal nowadays that New Japan Pro Wrestling is available in the United States on the Access Network. That's huge. Nobody really, really thinks about that. You know, they're just happy that it's on there on TV. But, you know, it's a big deal that, you know, a company with the name New Japan Pro Wrestling has a TV deal. And it was a huge deal that a guy like Ron Simmons won the World Heavyweight Championship, you know, in WCW. And, you know, it is a big deal that a guy like The Rock was the very first African-American World Heavyweight Champion in the WWF. You know, these are really, you know, like groundbreaking moments. You know, we're, you know, slowly but surely building our way to hopefully a raceless, community on this planet. But, you know, we all have to recognize, the strides and the breakthroughs a lot of these guys were able to make, you know, for the time. You know, we're still, Black Flag had that great song, White Minority, and we're slowly becoming that. And, you know, it's a big deal that, you know, any of these guys had any success, period.
I don't
and
mind.
Were able to be put over in the way that they were.
I don't mind being a minority. It's all about the equality. You know what I'm
exactly.
saying?
Exactly.
That's where we as human beings.
Oh, that's that's the issue that we're facing nowadays.
Right.
Nowadays,
exactly.
People just want to get handed shit to them.
Right. It's a sense of entitlement shit. You know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah. And fuck that. It's like if you can't pull it together in the ring, then you don't deserve to be at the top of the card. And Tony C wanted to make sure that I put across that. That Rage is the world's strongest son. But anyway,
by any means necessary,
you know, these guys were, you know, quality athletes, as you mentioned earlier, you know, Mark Henry, D'Lo Brown, Ron Simmons, The Rock, and the Godfather over like gangbusters.
Yeah, of course.
Everybody, with the exception of PG-13, were over huge. As part of the Nation of Domination.
Yeah, of course.
So being, you know, related to Jerry Lawler isn't always the best thing.
No.
Start Bill Dundee.
And the group was started by two white guys, go figure.
Yeah.
And it
were the least significant guys when it was
at its height, yeah. Which is amazing. Yeah. So I don't mind being a minority. I'm all about equality. I want everybody to be respected the same way. If you
at the end of the day, who gives a shit? But
yeah, if you're paying your dues, you're doing the right thing, you should be recognized. If not, yeah, then keep it moving. Get to the back of the bus, Rosa. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. You ready to wrap this bitch up or what?
Let's wrap it up.
All right. A ballad behind bars, or that's right. Hold on a second. An unusual musical happening in a most unusual place. The state prison I got a letter from the government. All right. Little public enemy. That's right. Anyway, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. You want to email us, turnbucklethrowbacks1@gmail.com.
Especially for the Martin Luther King of the Ring tournament.
Please put those entries in. Let's see here. turnbucklethrowbacks.com, all of our back content, rantemradio.com, shiningwizardsnetwork.com, facebook.com/turnbucklethrowbacks. Join the group page as well. Twitter, Instagram, at TBuckleTBacks. What else is going on? Thumbstick Ninjas. Don't forget those guys. Everybody else is on our page, I think.
The Mandingo, Rob Domingo.
Word up. Dave's going to be at NXT with Rob next Friday evening in Asbury Park, New Jersey. I'm sure live. Mega Pals will be checking in on social media with some results and some pictures, hopefully.
I'll bring a Turnbuckle Throwback sign.
Yeah, that'd be pretty fresh. Yeah. We have T-shirts, by the way, on the ProWrestlingTees.com, ProWrestlingTees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks. And that's pretty much it, man. For this edition, we'll be back in 2 weeks. You'll have a Philatorial next week. I got some goodies on there for you for next week. 2 weeks with Greg Klein, and we're going to wrap up Black History Month. So on behalf of the Mega Powers, I'm the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Rayo, bidding you adieu. Wishing all of you good health. Be kind to yourselves, each other. Don't avoid the clap. Don't get arrested. Hug your mom. Don't say the N-word unless you're, you know who, on Esther. Where is she?
What did you say, nigga?
You're right. I'm sorry, on Esther. But you know how it goes. Same bad time, same bad channel next week. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Night, Gracie.
His gun, and he did what I said so. And every man's the man got served, along with the time they served. Decency was deserved. To understand my demands, I gave a warning. I wanted the governor, y'all, and plus the warden to know that I was innocent. Because I'm militant, posing a threat. You better fucking up the government. My plan said I had to get out and break north. Just like Oliver's neck, I had to get off. My boys had the feds in check, they couldn't try nothing. We had a force to instigate a prison riot. This what it takes for peace, so I just took a piece. Black for black, it's high time to cut the leash. Freedom to get out to the ghetto, no sellout. Six COs we got, we ought to put their head out. But I'll give them a chance, cause I'm civilized. As for rest of the world, they can't realize a cell is hell. I'm a rebel, so I rebel. Between bars got me thinking like an animal. Got a woman CO to call me a copter. She tried to get away, and I popped her twice, right? No one to get nice, I had and now it's five to go, and I'm serious. Call me delirious, but I'm still a captive. I got a rap, it's time to break. As time grows a tent, I got my steel in my right hand. Now I'm looking for the fence. Hey, yo, Chuck, we got the dope plan in effect, yeah.
looking for that Vince. As I ventured into the courtyard, followed by 52 brothers, bruised, battered, and scarred, but hard. Going out with a bang, ready to bang out. The power from the sky, from the tower, shots rang out.